This is Ozarks at Large. Rachel Bell asks people about food, their favorite food, often. She is the host of the podcast My Last Meal with Rachel Bell. She's also a news reporter in Seattle and Edward R. Murrow Award-winning reporter. Her podcast, by the way, has also been nominated for a James Beard Award. Last week, she was in Northwest Arkansas as part of the Fayetteville Roots Festival. She co-hosted a panel discussion with several chefs at the Hive at 21C Museum and Hotel in Bentonville. And she also came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to visit with us. She says her podcast developed from her work as a radio news reporter.
Whole thing came from about 10 years ago. I'm also a reporter at a news station, and I don't know what I was researching, but I stumbled on a website that listed the last meal of every inmate ever executed in the state of Texas. And I thought it was fascinating because people could have at that time whatever they wanted. So some people would have 20 different things. So I started thinking a lot about what would my last meal be? And I always had this running list in my head. And then I started asking chefs. And then when I had the opportunity to create a podcast, this was what I pitched. And I found that, yeah, you can get to know people better because food is more than just food. It's often the last meal is usually not very fancy. It's usually nostalgic. It has something to do with their family or like a trip they took or attached to a person in their life. And so when you talk to celebrities, it's kind of a way to weasel your way into something a little bit more personal and sometimes vulnerable if there's a story attached to it. So yeah. And then from there, I take the dish and kind of go down a road and try to find out the history or the science or the culture. And that is really where you learn that food just isn't food. You know, there's politics involved in immigration and war and all of these other factors that, you know, bring us the food that we know today to where they are today.
There's so many things that we know are universal. Music, literature. Food, though, is the one. Because we all have to have it,
yeah.
And we all connect it to something. So the stories behind food. I love one of the recent podcasts when you're talking with an actor who is, she can't eat gluten, hasn't been able to for a long time.
Yes.
And I thought it was poignant and funny all at the same time that her last meal was going to be all the stuff that makes her sick.
Oh, yeah. I've had vegans on who want a steak for their last meal. I've had sober people on who want a martini at the end of their last meal. So people think of it differently. Some people take it very literally. And it's like, if I'm going to die, then I'm just going to pig out and eat all these things. And then I think other people take it a little more metaphorically, which is kind of more of the intention and just name the foods that they love. But yeah, you find out people's vices for sure. And also I have to say that there's been a bunch of repeats, which on a production standpoint is annoying because I'm like, I cannot do another steak episode, people. We've talked about steak enough. And so then I have to kind of take another storyline that they've gotten into on another food and take it there. But that's what I've learned is, first of all, a lot of celebrities are either Jewish or vegan or both. This is coming from a Jewish woman. Or big steak eater. Steak is a very popular last meal.
Do you ever have a problem pitching to a famous person that you want to do this podcast?
I don't have a problem pitching, but I have gotten a couple not so interested responses, and it's been from people who are later in life, much older people, a couple of men in their 80s who didn't want to do it. They didn't tell me that was why, but I was wondering if it was a little bit too real. I had a crazy thing happen where I saw that Quincy Jones, the legendary Quincy Jones, was coming to Seattle. So I reached out to his people to try to set up this interview. And so I saw, I saw he was playing at a venue. I reached out to the venue. The venue gave me the manager's name. They wrote back within a day and said yes. And I thought, this is when my podcast was very new. How did I just get Quincy Jones? I can't believe this. So I'm, you know, doing all my research. Well, the night before, my boyfriend says, what is he going to do with this show? Why is he coming? And I said, oh, I don't know. Let me look. I feel the color draining out of my face. There is somebody else named Quincy Jones, and he is a comedian in his 20s. And upon further investigation, I see that he has cancer and it is terminal. And so not only is it not the person that I think I'm interviewing, but I am about to interview somebody who is dying about their last meal. So I got real panicked and I emailed his people and did not say that I just found out all these things. But I said, I just want to make sure that he's comfortable with this question. And they said, oh, yeah, he's aware. He's fine with it. And it ended up being a really actually very fun interview. We really clicked and connected and he didn't seem to have a problem answering the question.
You mentioned your reporter, Edward R. Murrow
award-winning reporter. What's the mindset difference for you when you're reporting on something for on air that might be something more serious or more in-depth, or when you're about to talk to someone for the podcast? Is there any mindset difference for you?
Yes, and actually it's been a little bit of a learning curve because I do the podcast in the same studio that I do my radio work, and the shift in my brain, I have to actually work on it because you speak differently on a podcast. You know, you're talking into somebody's ear. People wear their headphones a lot when they're listening as opposed to news radio where a lot of people are listening in their car, and it's just a different style, and so I do have to kind of get into a different mode. Which is hard when you're racing around, kind of jumping from one story to the other. But I enjoy the medium of podcasting and this topic better than doing news. And so it's not that hard because it kind of feels more natural to me. But the interview style is different. It's hard to kind of decide, is this more of a conversation or more of an interview? I prefer the conversation, but I find that I naturally am more of a ask a question and listen kind of person because that's how I've been trained for so long. So I'm kind of trying to shake that out a little bit.
As you mentioned, last meal could be for someone metaphorical or existential. Have you thought about mortality any differently since you started this?
Not because of the podcast, because I don't think of it as a literal question. And I try to tell people too, sometimes when they're resistant, this isn't about death, because some people get a little bit freaked out by the question. But I think just getting older in general, I think about it more. I feel like I missed my existential period in college where you're supposed to be like, hey, man, what are we doing here? And I was busy probably actually smoking weed then. And so now I have these thoughts like I'm sitting on the couch the other day looking around at all my stuff and I'm thinking, gravity is a trip. Everything's just stuck to the ground. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? I'm about to turn 40, so I'm like fixating on gravity.
You become more acquainted with gravity the older you get.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do you ever have people that you feel are trying to be a little higher brow with their food choices? Mm-hmm. Like if you say, what's your favorite book? You don't want to say, I mean, a lot of people aren't going to want to say, I don't know, a Dan Brown novel or a murder mystery, even though that's what I might enjoy more.
I like Socrates, personally.
Yes. Do you ever think there's someone who wants to say, well, I'd really like to have a chocolate Pop-Tart because it just satisfies me, but they want to say some sort of French cooking?
No. I think people are really excited and proud to kind of talk about the highs and the lows. You know, there's a lot of high-low because, you know, celebrities tend to be on the high. And people just seem like it's almost like a, oh, I'm so bad kind of thing. Because it's like, you know what? I do just want a bowl of Lucky Charms with whole milk in it. And I actually want the whole box and put it in a mixing bowl. And I'm just going to eat it that way. I think it's kind of like an escape in a way to use your imagination. And, you know, this idea of a last meal is an imaginative kind of game in a way. And so I think people enjoy the exercise of, you know, coming up with something that if I could do anything, this is what I would do.
It's a great way to catalog.
Yeah.
Because getting ready to talk to you, I've thought about what would I want to be? And what I'm thinking about is what is my favorite meal?
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to make it my last meal, but if I went home tonight and just, and mine's not fancy.
What is it?
Oh, it's Popeye's fried chicken. Mixed, extra spicy.
True man of the South.
I mean, it's just the best. And then probably for dessert, there's going to be Lucky Charms.
Really?
And there'll be some, and there'll be some other stuff in there too. My wife makes some great food, but.
Does she make you homemade Lucky Charms? Carefully cross each marshmallow?
No, but I'll tell you this. When she's going to go out of town for a conference, about 48 hours ahead, I start thinking, oh, you know what? I am going to go get that box of Lucky Charms at the grocery store.
That is one of my favorite topics, actually, is foods that people eat when their partner is away. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, well, why don't you just eat it normally? And it ends up being, you know, we're both eating this dinner. She doesn't like this, so we're not going to have it. And a lot of people have a lot of sneaky little junk foods that they eat. And then their partner's eating the junk food separately, too.
Right.
But you just want to do it alone. Sometimes pantsless in bed watching Netflix.
Exactly. What's something... Yeah, if you never have that on a plate again, that's okay.
Yeah, I lived in Japan for a year, about 9 or 10 years ago, and I love Japanese food, but I discovered that I do not like natto, which is a fermented soybean. So when you And a traditional Japanese breakfast, one of them, is a bowl of warm rice with natto on top and then a raw egg on top of that and soy sauce. But you can find it in all kinds of dishes. If you take your chopsticks and attempt to lift it, it strings up. There's no better word than boogers is what it looks like. And it has a stench. I like fermented foods. I like kimchi and kombucha and all kinds of stinky things. But there's something about this dish. I cannot take it. To me, it kind of smells like actual garbage. And I mean this in no way to offend the Japanese because I love them and their food, but I can't do it.
Yeah. Well, you tried it, though.
I did many times.
And that's how you know.
Yeah.
You didn't just push it away.
Yeah.
Sight unseen.
Yeah.
Now, you're helping create a burger.
Yeah. Oh, God, this is so fun. There's a burger, like a little chain. There's four restaurants in Seattle. It's called Lil Woody's. And we teamed up to make a Your Last Meal burger. So they do this like with local musicians, like they did a Macklemore burger. They let all kinds of people design what they want. Doing R&D on a burger is so fun that I was ready to quit my job and just like, I design burgers now. This is what I do. Because you get to do the tastings and like, oh, this works. This doesn't work. So what I decided on was, I wanted to, at first, take different components from different people's last meals, and that just got to be kind of a mess. So I picked the last meal of Tiffany Thiessen, formerly Tiffany Amber Thiessen. She was on Saved by the Bell and 90210, and she has a cookbook now. And she wanted a charcuterie board for her last meal. So we transfer that into a burger. So it's a Juicy Lucy, which means that the patty is stuffed with cheese. So when you take a bite, it all kind of melts out. So we did mozzarella. There's crispy prosciutto. A pickled fig jam, because there's always that, you know, fig jam on a charcuterie plate. Arugula to kind of, you know, cut through the richness, and then a shallot mayo. And I wanted to put a little cornichon, like a tiny pickle, on the top with a toothpick, kind of like a Dagwood sandwich. And they told me that they can't do that because this was my words. People are kind of dum-dums, and they will eat the toothpick, and then they might sue. So they can't put a toothpick on anything. So there'll be a pickle on the side. To keep people safe.
People have been putting toothpicks in sandwiches for a long time.
I know.
Have we just gotten dumber, the big we?
Maybe we've always been eating toothpicks, but only now do we have the excitement of suing. Yeah.
How is there ever pressure? Because podcasts, you're on a schedule.
Yeah.
And do you ever feel pressure like, oh, I've got to get that next celebrity set up or I've got to?
Yeah, that's the hardest thing. Once I get the interview, you know, I can do everything from there. I've been doing this for a long time with radio, so I can edit and write and all that stuff. But yeah, trying to get the interviews is the hardest part. So basically, I just look and see who is on a book tour, who has a new movie, who's on tour making music, all that. Because the thing is, nobody wants to talk to you unless they're promoting something is what I've learned, you know. And then I kind of track them down.
If you could get anybody. Mm-hmm. From history.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, I've never
and
thought about it.
They don't have to promote anything.
In history, but for Alive, I want my two main Jews. I want Larry David and I want Sarah Silverman. I think they are both hilarious you know, dark-witted, and I think that they would both be very fun. They have both said no so far. But, you know, Larry David, I've read, he doesn't really like to do much press.
But I've seen him talk about food.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as the character Larry David.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
All right. You can go. If I had the financial wherewithal to send you anywhere Monday in the world that you haven't been.
Yeah.
Where would you go?
Oh, you know, I've been wanting to go. Okay. Actually, no. I'll change it real fast. I've wanted to go to India for a long time, but it's been my scary country. Like, I know that I'll go, but I know that a lot of my friends who've gone have gotten a little bit sick when they've gone, and the air quality is really bad. But this year I had a sudden like snap that I'm ready to go. So on Monday, I would love to go to India. Please send me.
I'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Where can people find the podcast?
You can find it wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, or you can go to yourlastmealpodcast.com.
Thanks so much for coming. Enjoy the rest of the Roots Festival.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Rachel Bell, the host of the podcast My Last Meal with Rachel Bell, was in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio last week. She was in Northwest Arkansas for the 2019 Fayetteville Roots Festival. And keep an ear out for her upcoming podcast conversation with Iron and Wine. She talked with Sam Beam, the artist with the stage name Iron and Wine, by Skype from our studio while she was here. This is Ozarks at Large.